This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm Oisín Langan, coming to you a little bit later than usual this weekend. You have my dad to blame for that, and his 80th birthday party. And because of him, because of you, Dad, I missed an absolute cracker in Richmond Park. St. Pat's overcoming Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. We'll be hearing from Pat O'Connor, who was at the game shortly. Pat O'Connor of ExtraTime.com. And we'll be getting the analysis of Barry Murphy. Elsewhere, Ronan McNamara watched Waterford beat Bowes 1-0. Gareth McGlynn will tell us all about Derry City's 4-1 win against Dundalk. And we will talk about Drogheda's 2-2 draw with Shelburne. But of course, the match itself, not the only talking point from there. We'll also hear from Ballybuffet, where Finn Harps and UCD drew 1-1. Cork City still racing towards promotion with their 3-0 win against Cove Ramblers. Now, the noise you're hearing in the background is the celebrations of the Pats fans at full time following their 2-1 victory against Shamrock Rovers at Richmond Park last night. As I speak, and maybe as you listen, but maybe you're listening to this on Monday, whenever you're listening, you're welcome along. We'll hear from Barry Murphy shortly. We'll get his analysis of the game. But first, ExtraTime.com's Pat O'Connor was at the match. And afterwards, he sent us this voicemail.
This game had high expectations, and I have to say the game lived up to those expectations, particularly in the second half. Rovers got off to a blistering start. Great goal by Darren Nugent after only 4 minutes. The ball was walked wide to Dara Burns on the right wing. He clipped in a fairly basic cross with his left foot, and Nugent was unmarked at the penalty spot and just nodded the ball into the net for a good goal. Rovers went on to dominate for the next 15 or maybe 20 minutes, but from about the 20th minute on, they began to settle into the game. Levy and Cavan in particular began driving at the Shamrock Rovers defence, drawing fouls, winning corners. But the game was turned on its head after about 10 minutes of the second half. In a three-minute spell, Pat's got 2 goals. Brandon Kavanagh was instrumental in both. He won a free kick on the right-hand side, clipped in the free kick himself, and Joe Redmond got in front of the Rovers' defence and headed it into the net for a really good goal. 1-1, and we hardly had drawn our breath when 3 minutes later, Kavanagh again took advantage of a poor clearance from the Rovers' defence, skipped along the inline, drove in a low cross, and Alex Nolan, very young player for Pats, met it first time, and the ball nestled in the bottom right-hand corner of the net. So a complete change around from the first half. Pats began to defend deep for the last 10 or 15 minutes, but they were heroic. A couple of half chances for Rovers, but they didn't breach the Pats rear guard. And as I said at the outset, it finished 2-1 to St. Patrick's Athletic.
Pat O'Connor of ExtraTime.com sending us a voice note from Richmond Park, where St. Pat's overcame Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. Let's get more analysis of that game now with former St. Pat's Bowes and Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper Barry Murphy. Barry, you were at the game, but before we start, given that you played for both clubs, who were you supporting last night?
I was sat firmly in the middle, that's where I was.
Come on, Barry.
Right between the two sets of fans. I know, listen, it was a brilliant occasion. Just even walking down, parking the car and walking down, it was weird kind of not being nervous walking down to a game of that magnitude and just there to enjoy it. But yeah, what an absolutely fantastic game. 5,015 sellout, 2 great sets of fans, and people were in early as well just to kind of sample that big game feel. So yeah, a really good occasion.
And was it something different? Did it have that big game atmosphere? Because there is a difference between a normal game, and while all games are great, and a game that you just know is special, something's riding on it, means something. Did it have all that?
It had everything. There's so many Dublin derbies a year, you think of the kind of lesson, but every time they come up, they're just so big. You know, walking to the ground with the two sets of supporters, you can see the huge amount of fans that were turning up at the game. And they were there early as well. It seems to be a team this year that kind of people are getting in early now to be a part of that atmosphere, and last night was no different than it. It lived up to expectations as well. It's just a really good affair.
And I know it's a bit of a strange question, because clubs and where they stand and where they are change through the years. So like, I would have had this discussion with Owen Doyle last week about when he played for Shamrock Rovers, Bowes were better than them, whereas now that's flipped. So asking questions about what derby means more, or how they feel compared to others, can be a bit strange, because just where the clubs are has changed so much over the years. But how would you compare playing in the Shamrock Rovers Pats derby? And you've done it both ways, to playing in the Bowes Rovers derby. which I appreciate is a strange one because, well, actually, no, you're a good person to ask because you were at Rovers when they were struggling and then you were at Rovers when they were kind of building back up.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, the fortunes of a team are cyclical. Like, it's just, you never get kind of teams usually on par with each other in terms of points and kind of money, players, that kind of situation. Kind of, we had it in 2010 with Bowes and Rovers, kind of where they're both on par and it's kind of week for week, it was going at each other. And both sets of teams are kind of the same kind of standard in both. But since then, it kind of hasn't really happened. The Bowes kind of Rovers derby has dropped off a bit, where Bowes have been nowhere near Rovers. Pats have shown glimpses of, in games, they've won 9 or 10 games, then gone to Rovers and lost, and then kind of gone on a run again and then lost. So those kind of derbies hadn't had as much significance. But in terms of fan base and things, they're all the exact same. You know, they're volatile, they're hostile, the fans are right on top of it. They're just brilliant games to play, and no matter where your position in the league is.
Okay, well, let's talk about this individual derby. Pats conceded after 4 minutes when Nugent scored a header. The Rock of Richmond, Redmond equalised after 53 minutes. Then Alex Nolan, who's such an exciting young prospect, who came over from UCD last year, I think, got what turned out to be the winner. Now, according to my Google, and this could be wrong, Barry, it looks like St. Pat's went with a back four with then Lennon and Bulger sitting in front of that with Nolan, Levy and Kavanagh with Keating up top. I appreciate Keating went off relatively early. For Shamrock Rovers, back three, then Honahan, Watts, Poom and Burns with Burke in front of them and Nugent and Green either side. That's Google. That could be wrong. But how did the team set up? What kind of setup was there for both teams?
Yeah, that's kind of how it went. Okay. Alex Nolan played really high up on the left. As you said, Pat set out 4-2-3-1. Rovers been 3-4-1-2. And Poom, Burke and Watts were just running right in the middle for the first 20 minutes. And even though they were kind of outnumbered in there, I think that's what Pats were looking to do. Have Bulger and Lennon sit there and lad kind of close enough, the next three close enough to him to stop the ball in between the lines. But yeah, Nolan played really high up on the left, with Kavanagh going to the right. And that kind of left Burns in a lot of huge space on the right. He was playing in his familiar position there at the moment, high on the right. And even within, like, the first kind of few minutes, you could see there's a lot of space here. And Graham Burke is getting on the ball, intricate passes that took out four or five with one pass. And it didn't take long for that to be punished with Burns getting the ball on the right. And Pats just didn't really deal with it. And even though you could see it was so obvious from the crowd how they were getting overloaded on the right hand side with Nolan being a little bit too high up. But that was obviously something they were trying to play on, that Burns might not track back and they might get in that way. But they got punished in the first 3 minutes.
What changed in the second half then that Pats seemed to get on top and score twice?
It was Mason Milius, really. An unfortunate injury to Keating up front. He kind of, it was a challenge at the byline. He pushed kind of Lopez over and went to jump over him and seemed to rock his ankle. And that was it. But Mason Milius came on exceptional. His pace is extraordinary. And then Chris Forrester came on for in the middle there and did really well. Just did his experience and got the ball down, held the ball up. And just, they totally upped the pace back in the second half. And you know, they were fully deserving of their two goals. Then just totally overran. Rovers just didn't to come out of the dressing room for the first 15-20 minutes of the second half.
And is that something that Rovers couldn't stop, or just didn't matter? How were they not able to stop it? Because they must have known, well, Mealy is going to come on at some point. He came on earlier. They must have known Forrester, well, he's going to come on at some point if he wasn't starting. So it's easy to say that, hard to stop. I get it, but why couldn't Rovers match it?
It's hard to pinpoint it, really. They were just so on top for it. Like, they could have been 2 or 3 up. Watts hit the bar couple of minutes after the goal. But no, Pats just won second balls. Jamie Lennon was winning tackles. Chris Forrester was holding up the ball. Mason Melia was making great runs in behind. They just kind of turned them a little bit, pushed Rovers back, and they stopped them playing out.
Yeah,
that's really something that was really effective. Rovers did it to Pats in the first half. Bade and go long, and they picked up every second ball, and that just completely changed in the second half. Pat went right up, stopped Poles playing out. He had to go long a couple of times. You could see Stephen Bradley on the sideline urging Poles to play out in the first half when it was on, and he was kind of a bit reluctant. And then second half, maybe that was in his head again when the ball came back from Sean Hoare, and he's miscued it with his left foot and it's gone straight to Melian. They've got the goal there. Cabinet's whipped it in, and it's a great finish from Nolan. And just like, the goal from Redmond don't really set the place alight, and the place was rocking after that, and he felt for that 10 minutes it was only going to be one person to score then, and Pats really took advantage of it a couple minutes later.
I was the reason I didn't get to the game, as people may realize at this stage, was because my dad's 80th birthday party was last night. But I checked the Connect app, and when I saw that Redmond had equalized, I thought to myself, I am missing one hell of an atmosphere. and I let my dad know that. I guilted him. So it sounds like Rovers did dominate the first half, but just didn't take advantage goal-wise.
Yeah, they had a couple of great chances. Yes, Honan did really well down the left-hand side, pulling back for Watts, and he hit the bar when he should have done better. Graham Burke had a great chance, got onto his left foot and put it just wide. It was really kind of waves of attack at that stage. They thought there's really going to be one winner here. But just clicked at half-time for Pats. They made the changes, slight change of formation as well, and it just really worked. And then, but I heard those kind of 5 minutes of madness from Pats. Rovers, the last 25 minutes were really on top as well. I think they had 70% for that possession in the end, okay. But didn't make too many chances. That they a couple of balls into the box here and there, and 92nd minute, Sean Hoare, a great chance and a brilliant save from Rogers. But bar that, Pats were really effective. They kept it nice and tight. Jamie Lennon put his body on the line and it went to that back forward. They defended really well and deserved the win.
Is goalkeeping an issue for Shamrock Rovers? I saw a little bit of criticism for Poles online. Now, he obviously made that mistake in the lead into a goal, but overall, has he stepped up to that number one position? And I don't want to sound, by the way, like I'm just jumping on the lad, because I wouldn't do that. And I'm also very wary about criticism I see online, but it's the people who are tweeting aren't bashing him. They're just genuine football observers. But look, there's no one better to ask than you.
No, I think it's kind of up in the air at the moment. I think people are really willing them to do well, and there's obviously a really good goalkeeper in there. It's just putting a back-to-back performances together now is going to be the issue. He made a really good save in the first half from Kavanagh. Close range effort that he got down really well to his right, but yeah, he just hit the ball back to him tonight. He just has to put his foot through it and get up the pitch, and then you can play out when you can. But yeah, it was just a really poor clearance from him. He'd won in the first half as well, a really poor clearance. But those you get punished at this level for that, and they are getting punished at the moment. And that's kind of when you're in that kind of form at the moment, when things are going wrong for you, they tend to go on for a while, you know, and just. You can have decisions to make then. Yeah, it's a hard one for him at the moment, but listen, the games they're costing him at the moment, the mistakes they're costing him to turn to goals, and from Pat's point of view, they won't be too disheartened by it.
And from your point of view, try and put yourself in his head last night when that ball was coming back to him. Is it tough to make that decision to either play it out or just bang it away? Because all teams now want to play out, but there are times you have to bang it away. And maybe when the ball is rolling towards you, you're thinking, well, if I just bang this away, the lads will give out to me because I've given the ball away. The manager will say, well, we need to keep possession. But then you're the goalkeeper, so you need to make that decision as to when is best to do either. I'd say that's a very tough place for any keeper to be.
It is. Well, like you could see, it was on to play in the first half, and Stephen was saying to him, letting him know from the sideline it was on to play. Pat kind of pressed, but it was kind of a half press. The clip was on for the two fullbacks, and he did it a couple of times, and then backed off doing it a couple of times, and then the kind of pressure comes from players around you then to listen, play out here. We're under a bit of the cosh here, like, you know. But the ball back to him in the second half was there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good ball from Sean Hoare, and to be fair to him, he looks like he has gone to strike it with his left foot. I've watched it back and kind of looked at positions of players on the pitch, and it doesn't look like he's tried to find anything because there was nobody to find there. Pat could press right up. So he has gone to strike with his left, and he's miscued it, and Amelia's gotten away of it. So to be fair to him, it looks like it's just a shank more than trying to be clever and play out. But yeah, just things aren't really going right for him at the moment.
Okay, well, yeah, I hate seeing things going wrong for an individual, and goalkeeping is such a lonely position. I'd say it's even tougher there. Pats seem to play well or get results when they've pace in the squad, pace in the team, and last night was yet more evidence of that. Do you think Melia needs to get starting time from here on in, and Nolan maybe the same as well? I think he has started the last couple of games. To be fair,
yeah, the two lads were brilliant. Just, I couldn't believe Mason's pace when I saw it live. Like, he was just he was knocking the ball 2 or 3 yards past lad and taking them on and overlapping them. And it pushed Pat right up the pitch. And, like, don't mean to sound bad to Keegan, he's got his obvious strengths as well. His goal scoring is phenomenal, but it totally changed things. It gave him a real out ball. And the same with Nolan kind of blew a gasket then about 70 minutes. But when you're looking at Mason, maybe you're thinking he should be starting games and then take him out after 70, 80 minutes when there's nothing left in the tank. But the same, when you can marry that with the skill of a Forrester in midfield and like he can find with those passing and those out balls, then yeah, it's a much more potent attack and they just look much better when the two lads are playing.
And it's typical of me. I've been caught by the dazzle of the speedy players, but Bulger has made some difference as well. He's also started the last two games and it's no coincidence that those two games have gone well for the Saints.
His engine was phenomenal. The 92nd minute, he was overlapping lads into the corner. He was brilliant. Himself and Jamie Lennon just kind of were phenomenal in there, breaking up attacks. And he's got that little bit of nous as well. He can play a little intricate pass. And he's got a bit of both. He's got a bit of everything. He's been excellent the last two games. And when you look at the results, you can't fault him being in the team. And going forward, you've picked up two wins with him being in the team.
And on Rovers, do they need to tweak anything? Or was it just a case of, if they'd taken their chances, they would have been fine last night and then they were caught? Or how do you look at it?
I think if Dylan Watts scores there to go 2-0 up, I think that's game over. They probably would have gone on 1-3 or 4. You see how Patrick Acton scored 2 instantly. That was nearly the same case for Dylan down the other end. That could have been 2-0 and game over. But they were missing so many players as well last night. I was in the centre. I could see the lads walking up into the stand, the lads they're missing, you know. Gaffney was missing. Johnny Kenny was missing last night, which is one he probably would have started or made an impact off the bench. But Darren Nugent did well. He's a big lad. Took his goal really well. But when you're looking for the last 10 minutes to bring on, they were bringing on Gary O'Neill, Richard Towell, you know, just wasn't an obvious goal scorer among them, you know, that's going to make a difference. They were kind of centre mids and things like that.
Yeah. Not pacey players either, are they?
No, exactly. And when Pats are sitting in like that with 10 minutes to go, you need somebody that's going to make a bit of a difference. And they weren't really the players to bring on, but obviously it's down to personnel at that stage. But yeah, for the first time, Rovers' kind of squad looked a little bit stretched last night.
Barry, just before I let you go, we're almost through the first series of games. It's completed tonight when Sligo Rovers take on Galway United. What have you made of the League of Ireland season so far? It's a very general and all-encompassing question, I appreciate.
I think everyone bar Dundalk has kind of shown glimpses of what they could do and then shown bad spells as well. Shells are really the only standout so far that have kind of gone on any sort of real run, and you can obviously see that in the difference. Derry look like they're starting to pick up a bit of speed now as well, and you know that, you know, for all the pressure maybe over the last couple of weeks, Pats are up to third now. It's crazy how close and tight the league is, and Bows aren't far off. It's just like it's incredible, you know, to think that anyone two wins can bring it right up into the top three in the European places. It's bar Dundalk, I think it's such I'm sure they'll come as well. They'll have their spell where they get back up into things, but yeah, it's just really close, and it's just so exciting. You're going into every game and really genuinely not knowing who's the winner is going to be.
It's been really enjoyable so far. Barry, it has also been really enjoyable talking to you. That is, of course, Barry Murphy, formerly of St. Pat's, Bowes and Shamrock Rovers, joining us on the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes. He was at the game in Richmond Park last night, St. Pat's beating Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. Barry, thank you.
Thanks, Oisin.
Right, let's go to Daly Mount Park, where Bohemians lost to Waterford, 1-0 the final score. Extratime.com's Ronan McNamara was there, and afterwards sent us this voice note, starting by telling us who scored.
Padraig Amon's brilliant first half finish after half an hour, proving the difference between the two sides. And in truth, Amon showed Bohemians what they're missing and probably what they're going to be lacking for most of the season since Jonathan Afolabi's departure in the winter. He hit a brilliant strike cross goal from 6 yards, a very tight angle. A neat 1-2 between Robbie McCord and Connor Parsons on the edge of the box slipped him in, and he just fired it into the far corner across Casper Troska. A fantastic finish. And it was really Waterford's only chance of the entire game, really. Bowes had the lion's share of possession, almost 60% of the ball. But as we know, possession's only 9/10 of the law, and they failed to make it count. They forced a flurry of set pieces, and a couple of headers went over the bar, mainly from Jevon Mills and James Clark, who probably should have scored 10 minutes after the break. He headed over the bar from 6 yards. After that, Bowes made a load of crosses into the box. Substitute Stan Reinkort probably could have scored, but he aimed to pull it back to the penalty area instead. Sam Sargent in the Waterford goal had a terrific game with three fine saves, denying Dale Rooney and Declan McDade from distance. But overall, it's going to have to go down as the perfect away performance for Keith Long, who was obviously making his first return to Dalyman Park since his emotional departure here in 2022. While for Alan Reynolds, it's two losses out of the first three games in charge of his reign since leaving Waterford as assistant boss to come here as the manager. And it was a disappointing first night at Dalymount Park for him. And it finished Bohemians 0, Waterford 1.
ExtraTime.com's Ronan McNamara from Dalymount Park, where Bowes lost 1-0 to Waterford. Right, let's go to Derry City against Dundalk. Gareth McGlynn, formerly of Derry City and Bowes, was there for ExtraTime.com. And afterwards, he sent us this voice note.
Thanks, Oisin. It's Derry City that get back to winning ways with a thumping win over Dundalk at the Brandywell. Three second-half goals, including a cracker from Will Patchin, brought a much-needed win to Rory Higgins' team. And I think it's Derry's first win in four games. The first goal arrived around the half-hour mark when Danny Mullen turned Paul McMullen's cross into the path of the impressive Adam O'Reilly, who shot deflected past Munro and into the bottom corner. The hosts wasted no time in doubling their lead after the break. It was only 33 seconds. Derry starting the second half really well, and it was thanks to a spectacular effort from Will Patchin, who collected the ball from McMullen, it was, and he was about 20 yards out from goal, and he arrowed a shot directly into the top corner. And it was incessant pressure then from Derry City, who were playing with, to be honest with you, the most confidence that I've seen them playing with this season. And it was, it's been in contrast to Dundalk, whose heads were down all over the pitch. The third goal inevitably followed on the 58th minute when Duffy slipped the ball through to McMullen, who smashed a left-footed shot high into the net, and that was his third of the season. It was one-way traffic at this stage. Derry were dominant, and Michael Duffy got in the act against his old club. The effort, it deflected off Daryl Horgan over Munro, and that was his first goal of the season. Dundalk did pull a goal back 15 minutes from time when Ryan O'Kane broke through to drill a ball past Brian Maher, but it was nothing more than a consolation. It finishes here at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Derry City 4, Dundalk 1.
So unfortunately, another bad night for Dundalk this season. They've yet to win a game in the Premier Division. After the match, Stephen O'Donnell, their manager, spoke to LMFM commentator Adrian Taff.
That's just not good enough, like, so all of that sort of talk, Paul. It's just not good enough. It's actually disheartening. It's sad. It's disheartening. And that's my instant reaction.
I thought you were competitive in that first half.
Yeah, we were, but sure. Like, we don't pride ourselves on being competitive. Like, as in, I know what you're saying, but give away a cheap goal, there wasn't loads in it. And then, you know, you're 3-0 down. Like, I'd say, don't know when, the second or third, 15 minutes into the second half, you're 3-0 down.
Look at a collapse like that, which it kind of was. It's a team that's lacking in confidence. That sort of thing's going to happen.
Whatever way you want to look at it, it's just, it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
And how does it get better, Stephen, from here? You know, like, I think everybody accepts the challenges that you've had. You've had to, you know, bed in a lot of new players.
I'm behind that. Like, I know. Tonight's not good enough. We can't have travelling fans travelling up two and a half hours and given that, like, given that in the second half, we can't. I'm just so disappointed is my overriding. It's not even anger. It's just disappointment is my overriding feeling, emotion, whatever you want to call it.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was Dundalk manager Stephen O'Donnell speaking to LMFM commentator Adrian Taff. LMFM, by the way, give great service to League of Ireland. You can hear every Drogheda and Dundalk game live online, and some of them are on FM as well, but they do wonderful coverage of the two clubs in their region. It was interesting from Stephen O'Donnell there, and we say this jokingly sometimes, it was always worse when your parents said they weren't mad, they were disappointed. Well, he was disappointed last night. And he could easily hide behind things that are going on that he has nothing to do with and has no control over. But he isn't doing that. And I have to say, it's much to his credit. One last game to get to in the Premier Division. Drogheda 2, Shelburne 2. Oisin Gallagher putting Drogheda United 1-0 up. Mark Coyle equalising. What a season the Donegal man is having. Evan Weir put Drogheda 2-1 up with 20 minutes to go. But Sean Boyd equalised in the fourth minute of injury time. Of course, the game itself, which sounds like it was good, is not the main talking point. Afterwards, Damien Duff, and I'm reading an article from the Irish Independent here, Damien Duff said he was embarrassed and ashamed after his side's Premier Division game with Drogheda United was stopped for close to 15 minutes after a linesman was struck by an object thrown by a Shelburne supporter. In fairness to Shelburne, they have come out very strongly against it and really are taking responsibility. I've seen various stories about how it happened and what happened online, but I won't really get into them here. So look, that is not great to see, regardless of how old or young someone is. That is not something they should be getting up to, throwing things onto the pitch, whether it's pyrotechnics or any other object, throwing things at officials, throwing things at players. It's just not acceptable. But you didn't need me to tell you that. Let's run back through the Premier Division and the First Division. Actually, we do have one more item to get to. That's a First Division interview, but we'll get to that in a second. Bohemians 0, Waterford 1, Derry City 4, Dundalk 1, Drogheda United 2, Shelburne 2 and St Pat's 2, Shamrock Rovers 1. How does that make the table look? Well, I'll tell you. Shelburne on top on 21 points, Derry second on 15 points, St Pat's third on 13 points, Sligo Rovers fourth on 12 points. That could change by the time you're listening because they're playing on Saturday night against Galway. Shamrock Rovers fifth on 12 points, Waterford sixth on 11 points, Galway United seventh on 10 points, Bohemians eighth on 10 points, Drogheda ninth on 7 points, and Dundalk 10th on 3 points. Finn Harps drew 1-1 with UCD yesterday in a 5 o'clock kickoff. They had to play at 5 o'clock in Ballybuffet because the lights aren't working properly, so they have to play in the daytime. It is terrible that they're still in that stadium, despite their plans for the new stadium, just down the road actually from where the old stadium is. They really need to make that happen. And it's not the club who are holding this up. This is where public funding needs to come into place, and hopefully it will, because they desperately, desperately need to get into their new stadium. As for the game itself, McNamee got a great goal from a free kick after 13 minutes, but Bolton equalised for UCD. After the game, Noah Baba spoke to Nigel Hegarty. Now, I have to say, I don't know too much about Noah. He joined Finn Harps last year from Castlebar Celtic. Before that, he came through the underage setups at Fulham and Birmingham City. He also played with Macclesfield and had spent the last 4 years playing in Germany with Lupo Martini, Fortuna Köln, and most recently KFC Erdingen. He also captained Ireland at underage level, so he does have some pedigree. Anyway, after last night's 1-1 draw, which for a brief time put them top, Cork City obviously overtook them by beating Cove Ramblers, but they're still very much in the race for promotion. And Noah did speak to Nigel Hegarty.
Yeah, look, we went into the three games this week looking to get three wins, you know. We managed to get two and managed to get a point out of the game today. So it is a little bit frustrating, but look, the way we started the league, so we'll take that and move on in the next game. So
yeah, from a personal point of view as well, you know, you've started the season really strong. You have to be happy with that too.
Yeah, look, I feel good. I feel good. I feel like last season I came in halfway through the season, you know. I didn't get my my legs were not under me. So this season with a good preseason from the boys, I feel good, and I also feel comfortable with the boys beside me. So the team is building good, we're training good, and look, I trust my teammates, and I think any type of contribution that I can put in is always helpful, you know.
Yeah, and you're a man that's, you know, very vocal about the support of the fans here as well. You know, at 5 o'clock on a Friday, over 1,000 people in the gate, that's incredible.
Look, for us coming in here, like, there's a play, we didn't expect that, so it's just one of those things we'd like to just show our sincere gratitude to them. You know, they showed up in numbers again today, so it's a 5 o'clock kickoff, but I was a little bit surprised to see how many people showed up there, and it's quite like relieving to see them coming in, especially with the changes and everything. But it's always great to have them in the park. So any time it's time to park the park, so we just want to keep giving a good performance and trying to actually perform in front of them so we can give them a little bit of hope, which we're trying to do all season.
With a quarter of the season played, you've sort of a feel for all the teams, you know, there's no reason we can't be up there.
Yeah, look, I trust my teammates, you know, I trust the coaching staff, I trust everything around this place. So for us, it's one game at a time. We don't want to go too far ahead of ourselves in regards to just trying to predict anything. We're taking a game by game like we did today, and we're just going to go into Athlone now, just hoping to just try to get something from the game.
Well, there was a little bit of background noise there, but I hope you enjoyed that interview with Noah Baba. Always good to hear from Finn Harps. They're doing wonderful things as a club, and because of their location, they do have it tougher than most clubs. But somehow they plough on and drive on, and I really hope they get into their new stadium. Let's just remind you of the results from the First Division last night. Finn Harps 1, UCD 1, Bray Wanderers 3, Athlone Town 0, Cork City 3, Cove Ramblers 0, Kerry 3, Longford Town 0, and Wexford 3, Treaty United 2. Now, I do want to do something on Kerry in the coming weeks, and I've always actually wanted to do something. I just haven't had a chance to get to one of their games. But last night, that victory against Longford was their first ever home victory in the League of Ireland. So congratulations to them. Today, as you listen, well, today, as I speak, it might not necessarily be today as you listen, Sligo Rovers take on Galway United in the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division. And that one kicks off at 7:45. It's live on LOI TV. But if you can't make it to a telly or a laptop or watch it on your phone, you can listen to it on Galway Bay FM or Ocean FM. So there's plenty of coverage of that game to come. Now, I know what you may be thinking. You haven't mentioned the Republic of Ireland against France. They lost 1-0 last night. Eileen Gleeson's team back in action again on Tuesday night when they take on England at the Aviva. ExtraTime.com will have not one but two reporters at the game, and we will have a podcast out either late on Tuesday or early on Wednesday covering that game and also kind of reflecting on the two games in this international window as a whole. So we'll have lots to come on the Republic of Ireland women's team, and of course you can read lots about them on ExtraTime.com. I do want to pass on my condolences and the condolences of the ExtraTime.com team to Colin Healy and his family following the sad passing of his wife, Kelly. We're all thinking of the Healy family at this time, which is not an easy time, but we're sending them our thoughts and our prayers. Before I go, let's take a look ahead to the fixtures next week. On Friday night, Drogheda United take on Derry City, Dundalk up against St. Pat's, Shells meet Bowes, Waterford take on Galway, and Shamrock Rovers take on Sligo Rovers. That one kicks off at 8, the rest off at 7:45. In the First Division, Athlone Town take on Finn Harps, Cove Ramblers are up against Wexford, Treaty United play Kerry, and UCD welcome Cork City. On Saturday night, there's a full programme of games, or Saturday afternoon, I should say. There's a full programme of games in the SSE Women's Premier Division. Shelburne take on Shamrock Rovers, Cork City up against Dealore Waves. Galway meet Bowes, Treaty United play Sligo Rovers, and Athlone Town take on Piemont. In the First Division, at 7:30, Longford play Bray. That's almost it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. If you've come this far, it means that you don't hate us. I hope not, anyway. I know I say that every time, but I hope it's true. If you could like, subscribe, comment and rate on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on, we would be eternally grateful. It really helps us out. Don't forget, Luke Jordan is back at some stage during the week with the League of Ireland podcast. And of course, I'll be back late on Tuesday or early on Wednesday with the podcast focusing on the Republic of Ireland's clash with England and the two games against England and France as a whole. You can get me through at Oisín Langan, or you can contact Extra Time on X through at Extra Time News. You can also check out everything that's going on in Irish football through the website, extratime.com. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.